Today we're going to talk about knowing God, part one, the concept of knowing God. Stay tuned.
Chance to know what said the Lord. Say, believe. Anybody gonna believe? Let me see you wave your hand. If you're gonna believe, because God is not a man that he should lie. No, it's the Son of Man that he shall repent.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good and he is greatly to be praised. I am so glad to enter into this lesson. This is a very important lesson because a lot of people want to know God. A lot of people want to be in relationship with God. And sometimes you just need a little information to help you steer your mind in the right direction. God is always about the mind. Some people try to, you know, make God out to be irrational, or, you know, even some of the charismatic Pentecostals who are very emotionalized. Some I've ran in contact with who do not, they don't deal with the intellect of God. And God is such an intellectual. He's the smartest one of the universe. He knows everything. We talked about the characteristics of God in previous lessons before. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. There's nothing that's outside of his scope. But God knowing everything and God knowing us is different from us knowing God. So that's what I want to talk about. Knowing God, the concept of knowing God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that whoever listens to this message will come to a greater understanding and a knowledge of you, and even come into relationship with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to deal with is knowing God. It involves the acquisition of accurate facts about God. In other words, we need to acquire, we need to go and search and find out what it is that we want to discover about God. So we don't want to come in contact with something that's an unreliable source, something that's like pulled straight out of thin air, because God is intelligent, and he is so intelligent, he gave us a book, and that book is the Bible. The Bible is the word, or the written words of God, as it has been passed down from generation to generation. And it is a very reliable source when it comes to getting the concept of who God is. In John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." So we need to understand that God's word, as it is written in the Bible, is truth. It is reliable. You can rely on the scriptures for accurate information about God. So that's the first thing, is it involves acquisition of accurate facts. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says all scripture is breathed out. That word also is translated inspired. In other words, it comes from out of God and into existence. And so all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So if you want to find some good teaching about God, some reliable teaching about God, some accurate teaching about God, you would go to the Holy Bible, as it has been revealed and discovered. All 66 books of the Bible, it gives us good teaching about God. It gives us good reproof, gives us good correction, and good training to teach us, you know, and we're going to talk about this more in our Knowing God series when it comes to training in righteousness. But the second thing that it involves in knowing God is it involves a saving encounter with God. So we not only have information about God as we discovered in the Bible, we also have an encounter with God to where God personally gets involved in your life. Have you had an encounter with God? If you have not had an encounter with God, today is your day to have that encounter. If you've had an encounter with God before, then you know that that is an experience like never before. That's an encounter that seen and touched you in places that you've never been touched before, down in the crevices of your soul. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or the economy of God or the workings of God or the structure of God or even the organization of God." You cannot experience God unless you are born again. And of course, you are born again by the will of the Spirit, which is in cooperation with your will. Once you surrender your will to His will, you would know that He is probing you, He is touching you, He's encountering you. And you don't need nobody to tell you that you are encountering God because God is God. And once He has an encounter with you, you would never, ever forget that encounter. At least I know I've never forgot the encounter that I had with God when He touched me in a chapel service where the preacher was preaching about the fear of the Lord. It was a touch that healed me from the inside out. I cried like a weeping baby. Also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." So we need to understand that knowing God, it involves having an encounter, a saving encounter with God, as we have seen in the scripture. Jesus Christ has come to give us understanding about God. And the reason why we have that encounter with God is so that that understanding would be crystal clear to our minds. See, some of us, we've had an encounter with God and we cannot articulate that encounter. But once you come in contact with the context of scripture, now you're able to define what was taking place when you encountered God, or when God encountered you, or when you encountered each other. And Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. So we receive eternal life when we have that encounter with God. We receive eternal life when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And this is an act of your will. He's not going to force you to receive Him, but He's going to stand at the door of your heart, knocking in hopes that you would let Him in and receive Him. Once you have received Him, He gives you eternal life. He gives you understanding. He gives you illumination, an awakening to righteousness, to where now you would be able to communicate with God. God would be able to communicate with you, and your relationship would begin to develop and grow. This brings us to the third point. It involves an ongoing intimacy with God. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that this intimacy that we have with God, we want to grow. Once you have the concept of God, once you have acquired God, and you're looking, searching for these facts, or factual, accurate information about God, you have this encounter with God. And once you have this encounter, now you enter into an intimate relationship with God, which is a continual intimacy. It's not a one-time encounter like being born again. Once you are born again, that is a act of the Spirit that takes place once. And once you become born again, now it's from that point of faith that came into your life, you want to add on to that faith. And that's what the Apostle Peter is describing here in his letter. He's saying you want to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge. So you want to continue to grow in your intimacy with God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter also says in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. That means until he returns, we're going to continue to have this intimacy with God. We're going to continue to add on these different qualities in our lives and in our spiritual pilgrimage, so that knowing God, we will begin to grow in that knowing of God. It won't just be a head knowledge, but it will be a vibrant interaction between you and God. Now, our final principle that we want to talk about when it comes to the concept of knowing God is it involves personal experiences with God. That means you want to live your daily life, all of your life. In fact, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. In other words, this is a lifestyle. You want to continue to experience life with God. You don't want to go on with life without God. You always want to keep God in the forefront of your mind, renewing your mind constantly with the information of Scripture, so that you can come into alignment in your intimacy with God. And we see in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5, the Bible says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we need to understand that you're going to go through challenges. You're going to go through trials and situations. Just because you're now in a relationship with God, or just because you know God, it does not mean that you're not going to go through challenges, trials, tribulations. So you want to encounter God, and you want to experience life with God. That's a part of knowing God, going through trials and tribulations with God and not without him. So when you come into an intimate relationship with God, it is not to escape life. Life is full of situations and circumstances, But the good part about it is when you are in Christ and Christ is in you, he will strengthen you through every trial, every situation, every heartache, every hardship. He would be there to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that you won't get stuck in the trial, but that you would go through the trial victoriously with the power of God on your side. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, in this rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So a part of knowing God is knowing that God is with you. He would never leave you, never forsake you in all of your situations of life, in the good times, in the bad times, he'll be there. And when you're going through situations, it's not that God is putting those situations on you. It's that God is there to strengthen you while you go through those situations. You will go through victorious. You want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the word of the Lord, always abiding in Christ, always remembering that God is with you. So when he returns in his parousia, that you would see him and he would welcome you into his eternal kingdom. And our final scripture for today is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Knowing God is not hard. Knowing God is not something you have to go and get approval from people to do. You know, some people will want to make it seem that you have to get their approval in order to know God, but that's not necessarily true. We have labored here about knowing God. We see that knowing God involves the acquisition of accurate information. We want to search for it. We want to go in the scriptures and find out what the scriptures is saying about God. It involves having a saving encounter with God. God wants to touch you. He wants you to experience him physically, mentally, emotionally, and in your inward self, your inner man. It involves an ongoing intimacy with God. That means that it's just not that one encounter of being born again, but it's a continual intimacy. I once remember intimacy being defined into me, see. And that's what you want. You want God to be able to look into you, to see you, and to rid you of those things that will hinder your relationship with him, but also to deposit those things that will increase your relationship with him. Also, finally, it involves a personal experience with God. No matter what trials, tribulations come your way, you have an ongoing relationship and you are experiencing God through every trial, every tribulation, no matter what. I want to encourage you to trust him. He will come through if you trust him.